Hey, big thanks to Pastor Stephen for preaching. I loved his message last week, and there's a little throwback to that. He did not have a slide of that, but I thought I'd put a slide of an orbit. Talked about orbit last week. What is your life orbiting around? And is it in chaos, or are you ruling over the chaos? Are you ruling over the chaos, or is chaos ruling your life? And Stephen gave you some theology and some very practical. He just walked through his life. Here's what I do. Here's what time I get up. Maybe it's not for you, but I'm going to show you what this can look like and tell you my journey of the things that I put in place, decisions that I made to rule over the chaos. It wouldn't have helped if Stephen had just prayed harder, if he didn't do anything to follow up with it. And the Lord was just giving him ideas and giving him things, and I don't know where they all came from, but he organized his life in a way where now Jesus has more influence and authority in his life, and he's not orbiting the football anymore or whatever, like whatever it is. I'm dizzy just one time around. I was watching him spin around. I'm like, man, I'd tip over, right? And I love that. Your whole life, because it takes a long time to orbit the sun, your whole life is in orbit, right? And orbiting around Jesus. So that was so good. So today we're going to do the same thing. I'm going to give you some theology. We're going to do some verses, and we're going to talk about the why. And then we're going to give you some really, really, really practical, something I'm really excited about. We've worked on for a long time for you guys, for you. So the question is this: what matters most? What matters most? Now, we're sitting here in church, and all of you guys got your church pants on and your church hats on and your church shirts on and your church answers in your heart, right? We had a thing that we used to do in youth group, and you know how, has anyone ever watched Wheel of Fortune? What are the letters that they just get rid of? Do you remember? R-S-T-L-N-E. Nice. R-S-T-L-N-E, because that's what everyone picked. So they just got rid of those, like they picked those for you, then you get to pick some more letters. So in youth group, we always used to do God, Bible, Jesus, Holy Spirit. Like we know, you're all going to say that because you think it's the answer you're supposed to say. And oftentimes it is, it's right, but it just kind of came out. So we all know your answer to this question. Well, Jesus, of course, it's Jesus, right? Anyone disagree with that? What matters most? Is it Jesus? Yeah, everyone's like, for sure. But you got your church head on today. What happens on Monday when you got your work thoughts or your family thoughts or your football thoughts or your coach thoughts or your hobby thoughts, right? Then what's most important? Would the answer stay the same? Intellectually, maybe, but practically, does that answer stay the same? Does it work out in our life that the kingdom of God and Jesus is the most important thing? I don't think it does for a lot of us, and a lot of us end up living in chaos and not living in the fullness of God in our life. Pastor Josh Howerton said this quote. It actually made it in our newsletter this week, this month. He said, what is the sign that you've had an encounter with God? It's not emotion. The sign of an encounter with God is rearranged priorities. Come on, church. You know me. We're a charismatic church. We love the moving of the Holy Spirit. I love when God gets in our business. I pray and I hope not. I hope that every time we come here that I see someone crying, that I see people in the back hugging, holding on to each other, that someone's up kneeling at the altar, that there's emotions going on. I pray that that happens, not just for emotion's sake, but that's a reflection of God really doing something in our life. But how do we know that God really showed up in my life? How do we know that I really had a God encounter? It's when what's important in my life starts to shift. When my priorities change. Because you can come, and I'm not picking on this, I'm not belittling this, but you can come to my office every day of the week and be like, I just cried, because people do that. I cried out for the Lord, I just wept, and I, you know, snot, and whatever, and whatever. And they'll tell me the seven things that they're doing this week that are contrary to what the Lord would, they're just not, the priorities are not lined up with the kingdom of God. I'm like, wait a minute, I think you need to go cry some more. Right? Like, I don't know, whatever it takes for this to happen. Because when you see people in Scripture, and when you study history, and you see people that have gone through past revivals, gone through moves of God, when God just showed up, their priorities changed. Their life looked different because what was important to them shifted. Does that make sense? So let's some self-diagnosis. Let's just, as long as we're just stepping on toes, let's just ask ourselves some questions this morning. What matters most? Well, what gets my time? Where does your time go? Now, just hold on just a second. Everyone look at me for just a second. Don't look at the screen. You want to see what's ahead? Jump ahead. Hold on, just look at me. Hold on. Come on, you guys. You'll often hear things like, and I'm not trying to pick on this either, but it's just not feasible. Well, if you play video games for an hour, then you need to give the Lord an hour. Like, I like that. I like that sentiment. All right, but I work 40 hours a week. Some of you think I work 2 hours a week, but that's all right. Sunday morning and Wednesday night a little bit. So then I've got to find other ways to exclusively give God. And I sleep, what's 8 times 7, 56? So I sleep on hopefully 56 hours a week or 50 hours. Or all right, well, I'm up 40 hours of work and 50 hours. I'm up to at least 90 hours. Now I've got to, if I'm going to put God in that place, then I got to do 90 hours of something exclusive. Well, what about any hobbies and family time? Didn't talk about eating or going to the bathroom. Do you see what I'm saying? It's just not tenable. That's not really what it means. If you do something for fun or for yourself, it means putting God in the first priority of your life. It means making him the center of it all. What am I orbiting it around? But a good question to know what your life is orbiting. If you're going to answer, what is my life orbiting around? Where's your time going? Well, I work and whatever. Yeah, but besides that, besides like the RST, LN, and E, let's get those out of the way. Where's the rest of your time going? Where's the rest of the intensity? Do we need to call the police? Okay, we're good. I think we're good. Okay. How about this one? What do I spend my money on? Well, I pay my bills, right? What else are you spending your money on? Give me your watch and your wallet, and I'll see if you're a disciple of the Lord or not. Oh, I don't like that very much. I don't like it either. I'm with you. I think that's kind of stinky. But it's true. When the authority of the Lord shows up in my time management and in my checkbook, then I know that God's getting in my business. I know that I'm starting to become generous. I know that I'm giving money to areas that God has nudged in my heart. I know that I'm giving time for a prayer in the morning or at night and reading the word and spending time with people of God, right? My watch and my wallet. Has God showed up in my wallet? This isn't meant to clobber you over the head. I'm just picking at, just saying things Jesus would say, right? Because he wants to be Lord. Ask yourself this, if you want to know what is my life orbiting around, what excites you? And that's not to say that if anything other than Jesus gets you happy and excited, that you're evil. That's not what we're saying. We're saying just as a diagnostic tool. If Stephen said, or let's go to the next one. What consumes my thoughts? Stephen shared that last week. I woke up in the morning thinking about football, went to bed thinking about football, and I consumed my thoughts all, like, it was very clear what his life was orbiting around. Not saying there's not seasons where that's a little more intense or whatever, but we've got to learn how to diagnose these things and set the right boundaries, because what is my life orbiting around? What am I building? That's just another way of asking that question. What am I building my life around? And I love this last one. Who am I? What is my identity? And it's really easy for us. Well, I'm a welder. I weld. I'm a welder. That's what I do. I'm a dad, you know. I'm a mom, you know, whatever. Like your vocation or your position in life. And what you see throughout history and what you see in the scripture is that people that encountered the Lord say, I'm a disciple of Christ. I'm a disciple. That's my primary identity. I'm a follower of the Lord. Now, because I'm a follower of the Lord, I'm a better dad. And because I'm a follower of the Lord, I'm a better employee or employer. Because I follow the Lord, my hobbies now are rich because I'm not trying to suck life out of them. I'm getting my life from Jesus. And now my hobbies are wonderful. And take them or leave them. It's great. But you see what I mean? Where's your identity? And if our primary identity is in anything other than Jesus Christ, it's cracked and it's flawed. Doesn't mean it's evil. It just means it's not what God's called you to, and you're going to fall and fail because it just can't. We'll talk about it in just a second. Jesus said this. Let's talk about Jesus. He says this in Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek third his kingdom. Wait, what? What is it? I think four of you know that. But seek fifth his kingdom. No, what does it say? Thank you for joining me here today. If you're joining us online, welcome. The rest of the congregation just joined us as well. See, I'm just picking on you. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I struggle with that verse my whole life. Like, all right, does that mean like first, so at 5 o'clock I need to seek first, and then the rest of the day I go chase after something else? Or do I need to do that when I get saved? Because that's first. I just get saved and I'm seeking heaven. And I learned later that the kingdom of God is more than just heaven. It's his kingdom and rule in my life and on earth, right? We're part of his kingdom. We're doing kingdom business. But if you think, switch out the word for first, switch out the word of most importance, but seek of most importance his kingdom and his righteousness. So that happens all day long, every day, and it happens all of our life. It's like Stephen said, it's a lifetime orbit around Jesus. Here's actually included another verse, but in the NLT version, 32 and 33 says this. These things, and he's talking about, you know, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, whatever. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So the question today is, what's dominating your thoughts? I love how they phrase that in that version. These other things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. So is God and his goodness dominating our thoughts? That doesn't mean we think about God 24/7. It's impossible. Like if I'm driving down the road and all I'm thinking about Jesus and a kid walks out in front of me, like that's a problem. I should at least be giving some percentage of my thoughts to the road and to the people walking in front of me. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm just being realistic here. But the importance of God should permeate my life 24/7. Like, I should position my heart to always be seeking him above every other thing. Jeremy Treat wrote a book called Seek First. I've got a couple quotes from him. And it says this. He actually quotes Miroslav Volf. I'm sure you guys have books by that guy on your shelf. And Miroslav says, the main temptation is not to reject God outright, but to embrace God as something secondary and use God as an instrument for our own ends. Huh. God is your servant. God's your helper. God, like, now that's biblical. God is our helper. But in the context of God being God and Lord of our life, Jeremy says, the only way to avoid our tendency to use God for our purposes is to acknowledge God as king and do what Stephen said, build our lives around his kingdom. What's your life orbiting around? He goes on to say this, what is at the center of your life? Exerting a gravitational pull to all your decisions and desires. If the dream or passion at the center of your life is something changing or something temporary, not only will you constantly feel pulled in different directions, but you'll always feel like you're one bad decision from falling apart. The center cannot and will not hold. If my primary identity is being a dad, what happens, God forbid, that my kids die? What happens to my identity? What happens to who I am then? I'm not saying that there's not, like, these secondary identities. There's hard, hard moments, and we've walked through some of them with you guys. If I'm a welder, what happens if there's no more welding jobs? But if I'm primarily a disciple of Christ and I'm serving him, and he's my king, then everything else I do is just a blessing in my life. It's a calling, right? It's a purpose of serving him, but my primary purpose is serving him. Does that make sense? Primary purpose is glorifying him and serving him. However that works out might be different in different seasons. That's why my primary identity, the reason for my being, is God. The center of it all has to be Jesus, or it's going to be cracked. And I love that line. He said, you'll feel like you're always one bad decision away from falling apart. Well, if I don't do well enough on this next test, if I don't weld this bead as good, if I don't fit these pipes correctly, if I don't raise my kids just right, then my center's going to fall apart. Not if it's Jesus. Amen? Isn't that freeing? Everyone take a breath. You see, it feels like we're pounding you on the head that you got to make Jesus the center. It's just freeing. We're just inviting you into a life of freedom, a life of lordship where Jesus gets to be the boss, you get to be the servant, and he gets to be like, let's do this, dude. And we get to be like, all right, I'm on board. Let's go. He goes on, Jeremy goes on to say, only the kingdom of God is powerful enough to order and unite the various aspects of your life. That's why seeking first the kingdom is about more than setting priorities. The kingdom's not another thing on a long list of priorities. It's the framework for determining the priorities. The kingdom of God, if you're willing to understand and embrace it, has the power to reorder your life with coherence and purpose. Some of us, just truth be told, we don't want our lives reordered. I like my life in the chaos. I like my life how it is right now. I just want Jesus to come and be my helper. I want him to be my little magic genie, right? I want him to just do what he's supposed to do. Come on, God, do what you're supposed to do when I rub your belly or whatever. That's not who the Lord of the universe is. He's calling for lordship of your heart. He's like, are you my disciple or not? Are you a follower or not? Be a follower, and then everything else will start to get in its right place, and you won't be trying to draw life out of your relationships. We talk about this in our premarriage counseling all the time. When we're not drawing our life from Jesus, we start trying to suck it out of the people around us. We get to be life suckers. And you don't say these words out loud, but you start looking at your spouse and you start going, wife, make me happy. That's what you're saying with your emotions. And your wives are going, husband, make me happy. And we can't. Only Jesus can. When we're getting our life and our identity and our hope and our calling and our purpose from Jesus, then we get to bless those around us, right? We get to serve one another. We get to be in enjoyment. Not that there's not bumps in the road, but Jesus is right there in the middle then. But when something is in the center of our life besides Jesus, we're going to suck that thing for all it's worth, and it's not going to come out well. It's going to end in death and destruction at the end. No matter how good the thing is, like Stephen said, those were good things. A lot of the things in his life were good things, but they can't be in the middle. They can't be in the center. They can't be the thing that determines the other things. God has to be the thing that determines the other thing. I think you're with me. I see lots of heads doing this. Either you got your headphones in and you just got the music playing, or you're agreeing. And I hope you're agreeing, because this is good stuff. It's like, and the rest of our life then is a continual path to letting Jesus have more lordship in the middle of our lives, letting him dictate our decisions, letting him, but he wants to work in concert with you. He loves you. He loves you. He's like, Rick, what's your thoughts on that? I want to know that. I'm going to tell you truth about it, but I want to walk through the, you know, Brian, how you, you know, let's talk about, you know, these cattle and like, how do we do this better? Like, he wants to walk with us, but he wants to be in the middle. He wants to be the ultimate boss. He wants to be the ultimate authority, because his way is life-giving, not life-sucking. C.S. Lewis says, when first things are put first, second things are not suppressed, they're not pushed down, but they're increased. And if you can ask Stephen about life now versus life in 2017, when chaos was ruling, when he put God in the middle and then prioritized his life around that, he got, his coaching got better, his teaching got better, his counseling got better, his marriage got better, his family got better. Like, everything else got more of him because he was putting God in the middle of all of that. Amen. So we're kind of finishing up our little chunk on prayer, our formed prayer. We've been on the Lord's Prayer for a little while, and we talked about the Lord's Prayer being a framework for us to pray. Stephen said you need three things. You need every day at least minimum of these things. You need prayer, you need to be in the Word, and you need silence and solitude. And he gave you this little framework for his life. He's like, it might not work for most of you, but here's what worked for me. Here's how I organize. Take some tips from that, and then you set some discipline in your own life and watch the freedom that it brings. Watch the life. When you put Jesus in the middle, see, Jesus, hold on. Jesus doesn't just automatically show up in the middle of your life. You know what does? Everything else. Everything, listen, okay, this is a nugget. This is worth it. I feel like the Holy Spirit is just saying this. Everything else in your life will automatically fill the middle spot. Jesus has to intentionally fill the middle spot. You don't have to ask your selfish desires to please come in the middle of my life. They're going to be in the middle already. You have to boot everything else out and intentionally put Jesus there. That is good stuff, and that is hard to do. That's why it's a lifetime journey. It's a long trip around the sun, right? It's a long trip around Jesus. We're keeping him in the middle, but it's an everyday decision. It's every day. How are we going to keep Jesus Lord of my priorities and my decisions today? So the Lord's Prayer, and Stephen said, we need to be in prayer. So we gave you some, you know, a few weeks of walking through some ways that you can pray through the Lord's Prayer as a help for you, as every day we're spending some time. Maybe it's 30 seconds, maybe it's 30 minutes, maybe it's 3 hours, coming before the Lord. Maybe it's little chunks of time throughout the day, but we're spending time intentionally asking God, you know, worshiping him, presenting ourselves before him. And we're always looking for tools to put in your hands. Stephen gave you a tool of his life. Like, here's what worked for me. Last December, compiled something for you. God led me to this, and we got so excited, and we put these together for you. And I did not know the prayer series was going to go that long, because here we are already in just about September, and I'm finally getting to hand these out to you. They come from this website called Lead with Prayer. We'll put a link for that up there at the end. But the last half of this message, I want to just walk you through some of these cards. There's 100 cards in here. We're not going through every one of them, but I just want to show you a sample of what's in here and how you can use that. How you can create a space for some prayer in your life, and how helpful something like this can be. You can throw it in your purse, throw it in your glove box. And so let's go through that. Are you with me? Can I talk about prayer cards? So that's the cover, and they just give you some instructions. Slower is better. Slow down. You're just not trying to get through all 100 cards, okay? Practice the rule of five. Read each verse and each line 5 times. You don't have to do that, but the problem is we rush through things in 2026. Slow down. Breathe. Slow down. Let these soak into your spirit. Practice posture. See, I love these. They don't know where you're at with the Lord, but they know that you want to serve Jesus, and so they're just giving you all kinds of ideas. Some prayers inspire raised hands or bent knees. Some might encourage you to pray loudly, or some might encourage you to pray in a whisper. Engage your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And one of the things I love about them is they're color-coded. There's cards that talk about praise and gratitude, about being in his presence, about your character and confession, about the Lord's Prayer, about petitions, asking the Lord. The section that led me to these is I did a Google search, and I searched for biblical prayers. I wanted a tool, because there's these amazing prayers in the Bible. We'll show you some of them. And I try to memorize those, and I've memorized a couple of them, but I can't get them all. And I want to pray those prayers over you, because the Apostle Paul prayed those prayers over us. So I pray for you guys. I pray for this church. I pray for you by name. I walk through this church often and pray for every single one of you by first name constantly. And I pray some of these prayers for you. And so that's what I wanted, and I ended up finding more than I bargained for, which was awesome. Some meditations and one of my favorite one-sentence prayers, because sometimes all you got in you is a sentence. So it starts where you're at. Where you're at, you can use these. So here's some first ones. Gives you some verses. There's a bunch of cards that give you verses. So the section is praise and gratitude. So start out with your prayers. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name, hallowed is your name. Oh, the whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns and evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. You're quoting scriptures back to the Lord, quoting truth back to him. You're engaging your own heart in that. And then here's another one. Some of these are contemplative. Think about each of these with wonder. Think about the vastness of creation. Do you have it in you to just pause for 2 minutes in a morning and just think about creation? God, you created. Wow, I can almost see Sisseton from here. God, this is just a drop in the bucket of this earth you created, and that earth is a drop in the bucket of our solar system. Our solar system is a drop in the bucket of our galaxy, and we're one of 100 billion or 300 billion galaxies or more. We don't even know wow, God, you're so big. All of a sudden, your problems don't seem so big anymore because God just got big, right? These are just tools. These are tools. Like, use the ones you want. Don't use the ones you don't want. Sometime, maybe a year from now, you skipped over this one, and you're like, oh, I really need to slow down and think about how big God is. Think about the beauty of nature. Think about the depth of his forgiveness. Anyways, these are just samples of what's in this pack. That if you take some time and walk through these, it's going to stir your heart. And you're going to find whatever season you're in, some of these are going to be more what you need. How about these? This is one of my favorite ones, number 6. I don't know what it is in the printed version, but on the PDF version, it's number 6. A lot of times I'll drive up to the church in the morning. I'll park my car. Sometimes I don't even remember to shut the car off. And I sit there and I take a pause. I take a breath. Because when I'm coming in, I'll probably make coffee and then I'm coming in here to pray. But even before I get in here and pray, often, not all the time, but a lot of times, I'll stop the car out there and I'll just breathe. And I get to number 6 here. And I walk through this. And God, you are holy. There's no one like you. You're good. You're good. You have good in mind for me. And you are good. That's who you are. God, you are love. When I come to you, I'm coming to love in person. Your life. Oh, and I think about the life of God in me. I think about my life before I was saved. And I think about after Jesus. And I think about God in me. I could tell you 100 things that are wrong right now, but right now what I know for sure is your life. You are perfect. You're strong. You see what I mean? And you slow down. And all of a sudden God becomes real and he becomes present and he shows up. These are just helps. You can do this without these cards, but are you? I don't know. I'm not picking on you. I'm just saying, are we? If you are, great. If you already are, these are just going to be addition for you. If you're not, this helps you to know where to start. What can I practically do? Here's another one. Don't write it on the card because then it'll be full. Use a separate piece of paper. List the things that you are grateful for. It just gives you a prompt to do the things that we tell you to do all the time. Let's be full of gratitude. Here's some more. Praise and gratitude. This is number 10. Number 6 and number 10 are my go-tos right away in the morning. Come, Lord Jesus. Awaken praise in my soul today. God, awaken gratefulness in my heart. I can be so cynical sometimes. God, awaken it. Come, let it come alive in my heart. Awaken awe in my mind. It's so easy for me to be in awe of what the devil's doing or be in awe of how ugly humanity is. Let me be in awe of you today, Jesus. God, awaken joy. So I don't want to ever lose my wonder. Awaken joy in my whole being. Because if I'm in awe of you, I'm going to be filled with joy so that I might know the joy of salvation on this day. How many think that's a good way to start your day? Right? These little prompts. Throughout history, the church has had these little prompts, different prayers at different seasons that have become famous. Some of those are in here. And then I always go to number 18, if I can. God, today, fill my heart with your love. God, right now, my heart is filled with, I've got some heartache, I've got some concerns, I've got some whatever. Fill my soul with your peace. God, my soul has got some anxiety about this area. Fill that with peace. Thank you, Jesus. Fill my mind with your wisdom, right? And you just walk through it. Fill my mouth with your words of life. These last three. May my hands be found serving. May my knees bow in surrender. May my feet walk in obedience. You've already started off your day with a power-packed prayer in 3 lines there, right? You've already positioned your heart. Slow down. We're like through 4 cards, right? And I would dare say that 4 cards in, you've already upped your prayer game for a lot of us, probably about 300%. You know what I'm saying? That's not being mean. I'm just saying life gets busy, and just grab a deck of cards and just go, all right, God, pick a couple out for the week. Pick some new ones each day. Pick 10 and put them in your car. Like, I don't know. Pick random ones. Pick one section. Maybe this week I'm going to work on praise and gratitude. Maybe next week it's going to be adoration or whatever. Abiding in presence. How about this one? Practice silence before God. Stephen talked about that last week. It was one of his big 3. Try to quiet your heart. It's just a prompt. These cards are just a prompt to help you do what God's called us to do every day. I love this one. 22. Number 22. Hold your hands downward quietly for 60 seconds. For some of you, 60 seconds. That's about all we got in us. And then release what you're carrying. Release fears. Name them if you want. Release worries. Release difficult people. Let's see. There's no difficult people here, and most of you probably don't know any difficult people. But some of us run into some difficult people sometimes. Just release them. Take their names and just intentionally, I release. I'm not going to say any names or I'll get sued. I release stress, overwhelming pressure, sadness, guilt. Just walk through those. And whatever one jumps off the page at you, that's the Holy Spirit saying, yeah, you need to let go of that. Let it go. Like, be intentional. Let it go. And then turn your hands upward quietly for 60 seconds and receive. Say receive. Receive. Oh, God. Thank you for your peace. I receive peace into my soul right now. I receive rest. Jesus, you're doing all the work. I receive your joy. I can't be just pretend to be happy on my own. I receive your joy, supernatural joy. I receive the love of God. Finish up with, I receive the wisdom of heaven. Thank you. How many of you think that we could increase our mental health by 20% if all of us just did that much in the morning, right? Are you with me? Do you see where this could be helpful? I'm not, like, this is not a, come on, judges. It's not that. It's a, here's a help, please, right? Like, you will thank yourself next week if you do this week, right? This is a benefit for your soul, and you're going to encounter the Lord, not because these are magical. These are just from the Scripture. It's just things that the Lord has taught either directly from the Scripture or through people of God over the years. How about some of these? Father, number 24, please quiet. God, please quiet the voices of the world, the voices of my own heart, and the voices of my enemy, so I can hear your still small voice. How many of you think if you prayed that prayer every single morning, life would go better, right? Take a quiet minute with each question. Father, what can I do to please you today? God, I want to love you with all my life. Jesus, who do I need to pray for today? God, what am I holding on to that I need to give up today? And God, is there anything else that you want to say to me? Jing, 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 jing. And then if I do make it, I love 26. Jesus, come into my thoughts. Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, come into my work. Right? And as you're praying through them, the Lord will just stir little different things, areas in your home, areas at your work that Jesus needs to come into. Jesus will be like, well, I'm already there, but boy, in this one area, you've done an excellent job of keeping me out. And we just go, all right, sorry, Lord, help me to do better in that area. How about some of these? Taking thoughts captive. It's just a prompt. Pay attention to the negative thoughts that you've had this week. Identify the lies that you've been believing about yourself, and then find scriptures to speak truth over those. And then write that down somewhere and repeat them out loud. This is not rocket science, but it's stuff that we don't think of doing. And then this one, reflect on God's goodness. It's like, all right, I got time for one card today. Okay, I'm going to reflect on God's goodness. They're just little prompts, just little nudges. Just like, I want to pray for 5 minutes. I got 5 minutes before my appointment. I want to pray. What do I do? Pull a card out of the deck. Just let it prompt you. And then it's you and Jesus. It's not the card. That's just to give you an idea, to give you a pathway. Character confession. How about these? Pray through each one of these. God, help me to be loving today. Love is a character of God. Help me to be joyful today. Help me to have peace today. God, and I surrender anxiety. Help me to be patient. God, I surrender impatience and having to have it my way right now. God, help me to be kind today. I surrender being a Karen. You're supposed to chuckle a little bit at that. I don't know, do they have a guy version of a Karen? Like, is there a boy name? Or is this only girls get picked on? Because they use it, that same word, for guys too, but... Oh. God, help me to be faithful today. I surrender unfaithfulness, God. All the thoughts that would lead me to be unfaithful, I surrender those to you. Right? Here's a prayer that started in the 1520s. It's called the Examine. Stephen's talked about it multiple times. Here's a short and condensed version of that. At the end of your day, walk through the events of your day. Pull this card out. Walk through. Keep this one on your nightstand. Walk through. Okay, what was my day like? What were my emotions today? And then I go, all right, so it's just understanding. Then I go, thank you, God, for your provision, your guidance, your presence. All right, what areas of my life do I need to confess and repent in? And then I resolve, I pray about how I can take lessons from this time today into the next day. Just one short little four-step thing. And it's all in that for the same great low price today. How about some of these? We better speed up here. This is a hard one. Ouch. And it's in the section called the Lord's Prayer, but it's the forgive us our sins. That's what this is talking about. We repent for living in one of these three cities. Am I living in Jericho, where I have a desire for wealth, a desire for comfort? My main goal is ease and security in my life. Am I living in Sodom, where the center of my life is pleasure and lust and wandering eyes and addictions? Or am I living in Babylon, where my goals are status and fame and influence and recognition? I need people to know me, pride in all of its different forms. That little card, you might want to keep that one far away. It's painful. How about this one? It's in the Lord's Prayer section, number 58 there. I'm just going to pray through this. Jesus, conqueror of this world, help me overcome this world of pride and to live in genuine humility. Help me overcome this world of pleasure and to find joy in your presence. God, help me overcome this world of greed and be willing to live in simplicity. Help me overcome this world of achieving and be willing to live in obedience. Help me overcome this world of fear and to live in peace. Help me overcome this world of hate and to deeply and daily love people. Man, these are powerful. You got a whole deck of them. God, I just want to serve you well. Little prompts. Not magic. It's just you and Jesus. It's you talking to God. It's you doing what we've told you to do, but it gives you a little launching pad, a little kickstart. These are both from St. Patrick. I won't read through them all, but, you know, I pray for God's strength to pilot me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to guide me. And then this one on the right we talk about, usually in the spring, Christ before me. It's true. Christ is behind me. God may be so. Christ is on my right. He's on my left. Christ above me. Christ beneath me. Christ in me and upon me. Christ when I lie down. Christ when I sit. Christ in the eyes of all who see me. Christ in the ears of all who hear me. God, may it be so today. I pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. What a powerful prayer. How about these little prompts? Pray for your state leaders. Pray for major issues on your heart in your nation. Pray for Christian leaders in your nation. Pray for salvation and revival. Pray for revival. Pray for your church. If you all of you parents and grandparents just did number 72 every day, you would see an impact in our world. If you just took number 72 and you faithfully prayed that every single day, God would hear those prayers, he would answer, and something would happen. God, I pray for my children to have courage today in the face of adversity. I pray for my kids to have compassion. God, help them to not be jaded and cynical. Help them to have compassion. God, help my kids to have character. Help them to not just follow the crowd. Help them to have holiness, God, because you're holy. Help them to walk in you, in holiness. Help them to have humility. God, this world challenges us to be proud. Help us to walk in the Spirit and have humility. Help them to have love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Help them to put on the armor of God. Help them to be leaders. Help them to lead others to Christ. Help them to be prayer, people of prayer and people of the world. And God, we pray for their spouses as they grow up, get married. Do that, parents, grandparents. If you don't have kids, pick a random kid, pray for them. Just pray for these kiddos. How about this one? Pray through these graces for your marriage. Well, it's a lot easier to complain about my spouse. How about if you listen to each other humbly, serve each other joyfully? Like, and just pray through those. God, help me to honor each other faithfully. God, help me to share with my spouse honestly. God, help me to forgive them intentionally. God, help me to apologize to each other truly, true from the heart. God, help me to encourage my spouse regularly. God, help me to laugh with my spouse deeply. Help me to pray with my spouse powerfully. Help me to love my spouse passionately. write out a prayer for your spouse that you can pray regularly. Like, I'm telling you guys, these are just power-packed. Now some of the prayers, we won't read through all these, but these are all prayers, and this is what I searched out this deck of cards for. I didn't know that I was going to get a whole set, but I love these prayers because I pray these prayers over you guys. God, I pray for, I start in the back corner there, I walk through here, and I say your names out loud, and I say, I pray, God, I'm asking you to fill them, each one of these people that I've named, with the glory, with the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that these people at COC would know you better. I pray that the eyes of their heart would be enlightened, that they would know the hope to which you've called them, God. God, I pray today that they would know the riches of your glorious inheritance in them, the holy people of God. And you would know that they would know, and I'll list your names, that God, that Dawn would know, that Robin would know, that Alana would know, that Aspen would know your incomparably great power for us who believe. And you can pray that for yourself and your spouse and your kids and your church and your family. Pray that. That is a biblical prayer. God hears that prayer. It is outlined for you. Pray it verbatim. God, I pray, Ephesians 3, that God would strengthen COC. He would strengthen all these people that I just named with power in your spirit through their inner being so that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith. I pray that they'd be rooted and established in love and they would have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp. We said that this morning, how wide and how long, right? And then this one, I pray, God, that their love would abound more and more, and they'd be able to discern what is best, and they'd be pure. God, make the people of our church pure and blameless, right? And Colossians 1, there's those five, I think there are, just so good prayers. All right, there's a section on the armor of God, so you don't have to memorize that, but you should memorize it anyways. Pray through that. Meditations. These are cool. We're just about done. I'm adopted into God's family. There's a verse for it. Go look it up. The God who created the universe calls me his friend. John 15:15. Go look it up. I have Christ's victory in me. We talked about that this morning. 1 Corinthians 15. Go look it up. I'm born again. I have Christ's energy. How about these? I'm a new creation. I'm delivered. I'm set free. I can approach God with freedom and confidence. I have a spirit of love. How about these? Oh, one-sentence prayers. Let's finish up with these one-sentence prayers. Father, show me your heart. Sometimes you can mutter one prayer under your breath before you're walking into a meeting. Help me to love everyone I see today. Teach me to listen to your voice today. God, be gracious to us and bless us. Cause your face to shine upon us. God, forgive me. God, cleanse my heart and mind. Lord, how can I please you today? One-sentence prayers. There you go. There's the link. QR code should work. I have these. Let's see. There's my phone. There's the little blue thing right there. It's a PDF that I downloaded. And I can't tell you how to do this because I had to Google it. But I downloaded this on my phone. And then I created a shortcut on my home screen. So when I pop this up, there's my prayer cards. And I scroll through these on my phone all the time. But should you want to not do that, we've got one of these for you. We printed 100 of these, and it was hundreds of dollars, and we will print more if we need to, but take these, use these, put them in your car, put them by your nightstand, throw them in your purse. If you're a guy, get rid of your purse. Put them end table or whatever, wherever you sit in the living room, right? So that when you got 5 minutes, instead of just scrolling, you can grab one of these, and it's really easy. You can find a prompt, and there's 100 of them. There's 100 cards, so probably 95 actual prayer cards, scripture cards. You might just be an adventure. It might be just cool enough that you go, I wonder what card I'm going to pull out of the deck, and you end up praying for something. You end up having a breakthrough and a victory because you had 5 minutes and you decided not to scroll, but you're going to pray. That's what we're doing, guys. We're just trying to give you tools so that our life looks like a life of a disciple. Amen? I would love to hear testimonies, 3 weeks, 3 months from now. I've been going through those prayer cards and my soul is so much more settled. My neighbor that didn't know Jesus, I ended up on this one card, number 73. I just love that card, and I would pray for my neighbor every time. Guess what? He wants to come to church. right? I would love to hear testimonies of that. I was so full of greed, you know, whatever. And I just, card number 38, and I just, that would just convict my heart every time. And I didn't even realize it was in there, but every time I got to card number 38 or whatever, I don't know, I'm just throwing things out there. But I would love to hear testimonies. I put these into practice, and boy, and you'll find really quickly that you get a couple favorites, and you're like, and it just helps you to have a rhythm to be able to pray. And to be able to spend time with the Lord and be quiet before Him. And there's Bible verses, so you're in the Word of God as well. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the power of God that is going to infiltrate our people's lives as they go through this just tool to do what You've called us to do, to spend time with You and to pray, to listen, to hear, and to obey, God. I thank You for the filling of the Holy Spirit that's happening in our lives. Give us Your grace to do this in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen.